Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, what's happening in San Diego? And welcome in. It is finally a Friday. And it is a Friar Friday indeed. As we join you on the Gwynn and Chris program, 97.3 The Fan. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park, where the Padres will take on the Atlanta Braves this evening. Final series before the All-Star break. Matt Scraby's alongside here in the Odyssey Palace. I got to tell you, we've got a really, really good show today. I just happen to know that the Big Five is off the chain today. Scraby outdid himself. That'll be coming up in the 4 o'clock
hour.
Is
that a good thing?
But before that, in the 3 o'clock hour, we are going to our countdown today. We're getting excited for the start of, I need a little music here. We're getting ready for the start of the National Football League.
I mean, you don't give me any heads up on this?
I said we needed music here.
Yeah, okay, let me just choose the music you're thinking of.
That's the one I was thinking of right there. We are only 18 days away, people, from the first NFL preseason game. I'm so excited. All right, you can bring the music down. But we will be counting down our top five NFL teams right now at this moment. Take a wild guess. Who Scraby picked as the best team in football? You'll all find out together in the 3:30
Even though they're not deserving, I might add.
Oh, I know. But I mean, this is the life that we have to put up with. Tony Gwynn Jr. is down at Petco Park, where last night...
Today's so weird already.
Last night... All right, just stop interrupting.
He can't.
Trying to get a little flow going here. Trying to get a little flow. David Peralta, by the way, is our Friar Friday guest. We just visited with him. You'll never guess the job that David Peralta had before he became a Major League ball player. The road that he took to become a Major League ball player, that story is incredible. And I don't know that everybody knows it. I certainly didn't know it before he told it. So you'll want to hear that interview coming up in a little while. But last night, Petco Park, Tony Gwynn Jr., the big soiree downtown at the Diamond. Dinner at the Diamond, third annual. Big event. All the Padres players were there, dressed to the nines. Tony Gwynn Jr., always a part of that kind of gathering. Ello and Scraby, nowhere to be found. But how was the night? Ludacris performed?
Luda!
My goodness!
Yeah,
is this
yeah.
the... This is going to sound like I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm going to try it anyway. Was Ludacris, does he appear with the cornrows these days?
That's
or does he appear with the hair out to the ends of the earth these days?
That is such a wonderful question.
That's a fair question?
It's a great question.
Oh, good. Okay.
He actually had the cornrows last night. He did not have the full afro flared out.
All right.
But I tell you what, I would go back and watch him do a concert. Like, obviously, I don't need to because we just saw him. But he was really good.
Yeah, I bet.
For you know that's not your typical Ludacris demographic, if you will.
Right. Fair enough. Yeah. Right.
And so the fact that he was still like into it, despite this, the kind of audience, I thought spoke to the type of entertainer he was. He was really good.
I'm glad to hear that, but I'm not surprised to hear that. I know they raised a ton of money for youth, homelessness, youth, yep. and young people that that need that kind of help. I think they raised...
As well as military families.
Yeah. I mean, it's all for a great cause.
Yeah.
And the money that gets raised is... makes the entire event worthwhile, and I don't want to sound like I don't care about that, but what I care more about was on the menu, Tony. What did we get to eat last night that Scraby and I missed out on?
So one of the really great chefs, you can make the argument in the world, but he resides here in San Diego, Travis Swigert, who has the restaurant Cali. If you guys are familiar with,
oh yes,
here.
And you go there often.
I have
You're
been.
A big Cali
he was
guy.
He didn't make the food, but he was the director of the food and what we were getting. And I think it was a cut of steak,
mm-hmm.
and like some big giant shrimp.
We're off to a really good start with the cut of steak.
Then there was like this fruit salad type deal.
Was it the ultimate oxymoron? Jumbo shrimp?
No. It was. They were real jumbo.
Scraby's like, looking at me like he doesn't understand what I just said.
He doesn't.
Do you know what an oxymoron is?
You.
Yes! Yes! That was such a stupid line that it was funny. It actually caused a laugh.
I don't know the official oxymoron definition, but I know what
it is. It is two words that are complete opposites of each other.
Like,
that are
tiny,
used together.
A big dude named Tiny is an oxymoron.
Gotcha.
Right.
Gotcha.
So jumbo shrimp is considered an oxymoron.
All right. Anyway.
No, but they were actually jumbo.
You? God, he was so happy with himself too. I don't know if you can see on the chat. But
at first, I panicked because I didn't know the definition.
He almost broke his other shoulder patting himself on the back for that.
No,
line.
I legitimately hurt my shoulder celebrating.
That was good, Scraby. I got to be fair. It was the timing was good.
Very good. All right,
but yeah, that was we had a so there was that, and then there was. What is a pita bread with like a great hummus that they had working there?
Oh boy, you know I love that.
Chris's favorite.
It was good. It was good stuff.
Good
all around.
A very nice evening. I did see some clips of it on Instagram. Guys were all dressed up, and everybody was predicting who was going to be the best dressed. Most of the players picked Profar. I did not see Profar. Was he? Would he have won that honor, Tony, in your estimation?
Prof was always dressed well. You know what? I don't know if I paid enough attention to the clothes last night.
All right. Call your wife. She probably would know.
Everybody was dressed to the nines. I think a lot of those guys got on the pink carpet. Oh, that was another thing. I don't know what the theme was, but they had like pink carpet everywhere. And there was like no seams. So they like did this up. Like you couldn't see no seams in the carpet. And it was like on the outfield grass. But I'm sure on if you go to Padres IG, there's a bunch of guys who walk the red carpet or the pink carpet.
Yeah.
You can kind of make a determination for yourself.
All right. Big night last night at the ballpark and a big night tonight as the Padres do get ready to take on the Atlanta Braves. A little change in the pitching rotation, which was actually broken on the Ben and Woods show this morning by manager Mike Shildt. During their visit with Mike Shildt, he explained why Randy Vasquez has moved from today to Sunday as a starting pitcher, and that's because he just had a child. So, congratulations to Randy Vasquez.
Yeah.
Mike Shildt was really funny because he told Ben and Woods this, or Ben and Paul. I don't think Woods is in today. He tells Ben and Paul, yeah, we had to move Vasquez back a couple of days because he just gave birth. Congratulations. And then he went, uh-oh. Maybe I wasn't supposed to spill the beans on that. And Ben and Paul were like, oh, we got breaking news out of you, Skip. And he said, yes, congratulations.
This is breaking news.
Yes, he was like, good for you guys. You guys got me on that one. So, it's going to be Waldron, I believe, tonight instead of Vasquez. But, right now, the four-game losing streak, but the last three games of which it's really been the offense that has – been a little quiet, Tony, and obviously you got to try to get something going tonight against the young right-hander for the Braves because Schellenbach. Yeah, Schellenbach. Yeah, the right-hander that I don't know him well enough yet to know his name. But because the next two Nats are playing, they're going up against all-stars, Ronaldo Lopez and Chris Sale. So
yeah,
put a little extra pressure on you tonight.
They beat Lopez earlier in the year. Sale was the only one that they couldn't conquer in the matchup in May in Atlanta. But yeah, to your point, you probably want to take advantage of this young guy that's on the mound today. He's, Padres' offense has been a little bit off here as of late.
Right.
I don't think there's cause for concern there. I mean, they ran into two really good pitchers that rammed it down their throat for, you know, most of those innings.
And that does happen.
So now you look to bounce back. And so this is a good way to try to finish the first half strong. Certainly against a quality team in the Atlanta Braves.
Padres did take 3 out of 4 in Hotlanta the last time. And if I'm not mistaken, when they went in there to Atlanta, they were on one of their cold streaks.
They sure were.
Right?
They had just played horribly at home again.
Yes, and they went to Atlanta and everybody thought, oh no, they're going to get, you know, blasted by the Braves, and the opposite happened. The Padres took 3 out of 4. So, we'll see. The last time out, by the way, Schellenbach, who's starting tonight, did very well against the Phillies. 6 innings, 1 run, no walks, 6 strikeouts. It was probably the best start he's had in his young career. So he's coming in off of a good performance the last time out. Here's the thing, Tony. When you have your pregame meeting or your pre-series meeting, I'm curious, does everybody talk about, like, all three guys that you're going to be facing on the weekend?
Good question.
And if so, how do you make sure that you don't put too much extra pressure on yourself, you know, knowing that on paper, the easiest guy is the guy you're facing tonight?
They do it differently now, I think. When I was playing the first game of the series, you'd go over all three guys that you would see as the starter. You go over their bullpen, who you most likely see and what times, what innings you'd likely see them in. From there, it would be whoever was starting on that day, video would be playing on all the TVs throughout the game, throughout the clubhouse. Now, based on how many meetings they have, I think they go over the starter every day. Whoever's starting, they have some type of hitter's meeting. They go over the pitcher, and then you go from there.
Well, whatever they do, they got to do it a little better tonight than they've done it the last few games. Xander Bogaerts, Tony, I know you're just arriving at the ballpark, but is there any sign, hint that maybe tonight is the night that he makes his debut back in the lineup?
Unfortunately, I had to come straight up here to record before we got started today, so I was not able to
don't
see.
Have that knowledge. I'm sure somebody will tweet that to us as the second somebody thinks they know.
Yeah, no, that's going to be a I wouldn't be surprised if the lineup is a little bit later than normal because of that, as
right.
They wait to just double-check, make sure he's good to roll. Which also means there's probably a move that has to be made too. So.
Oh, right, because you got to activate Mr. Bogaerts if you're going to do that.
So I anticipate a late Padre lineup for today's game.
Fair enough. The one thing that we talked about extensively yesterday on the baseball roundtable, and if you miss the baseball roundtable, honestly, that's something you got to put on your weekly Thursday calendar, because it's an hour commercial free of just nothing but Padre talk, and all of us are on there. And we talked about the infield with Bogaerts coming back and how it's going to all work. And I thought, Mr. Elston brought up a very good point during that discussion, and that is, with Bogaerts back, they're finally going to have the infield defensively the way they have wanted it all season, assuming Manny is playing third base tonight. Because the first time around, when Bogaerts was playing second and Kim was playing short, Manny wasn't yet playing third base, or very rarely was playing third base. He was doing mostly DHing. So an infield defense of Machado, Kim, Bogarts, Cronenworth at first, you know, that should, in theory, take a few runs away from the opposition. That's a really good setup for the Padres.
Yeah, here's the thing, I thought it was a great point too, but then as I thought about it, I don't know, you know, outside of a couple of, you know, what, missed catches by Luis at first, a couple misplays by Cronenworth, I don't know that the defense has been bad enough to
Agreed to that.
Xander comes back and all of a sudden it's like way better. I think obviously Cronenworth moving the first is an upgrade defensively, but I don't know that it improves it like that much more where you're actually taking runs away. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's the best that they have because of the pieces they have and how it works with the lineup construction, I think.
Right.
For the most part, but I don't know that it's a market improvement of where the defense is right now.
Well, we will hopefully all start finding out what the return of Xander means to this ball club. And hopefully we'll start finding out tonight as soon as we know if he's in the lineup or Tony gets wind of it down there at Petco Park. We will certainly pass that along to you. We are underway. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., and Mr. Scraby. It is Gwynn and Chris for a Friday. Like I said, really fun show today. David Peralta, his story is really unique, and it's coming up in about 15, 20 minutes. Don't miss it on 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
2:22 on the clock, Tony Gwynn Jr., Crisello, Matthew Scraby. It's a Friar Friday. It's a City Connect night here at Petco Park.
How have the I don't have the record, but it seems like the Padres have struggled in the City Connects this year. Now that I said that, they're probably over 500 with them. But
hey, you could go do that for us.
I could.
You can go.
I could go through every Friday result.
Home Friday results. I'm on it.
Perfect.
Perfect. Yeah, Padres. Braves, game one of a three-game set. Tomorrow's game, I believe, is on Fox. So for those of you who tend to believe that the broadcasters on the national networks are homers for the opposite team, tune on in to 97.3 The Fan. You can catch my guy Jesse Agler and Bob Scanlon here. They'll be able to guide you all the way through that ball game.
Me, on the other hand, you get the idle day tomorrow.
I get the that is the one lovely thing about TV is when National comes in, they take over everything, and there is no need.
They
for
take
Tony.
The booth.
Yeah, they kick
take
us out.
The booth.
So we will.
I for one will listen on the radio tomorrow. I can't. I'm not into the Fox guy. They don't. They do games unless I'm going to put an addendum in here. Unless Don Orsillo happens to be the voice for Fox, which he sometimes is, I always feel like the Fox guys come in halfway prepared, and I know that that's not fair because I'm sure they really work hard to know everything. But there's just no way they can know as much as we all do. They don't follow the game, you know, the team every single minute of every day.
Yeah, that's a good point. Fair point. So yeah, you can catch it up 97.3 The Fan if you don't want to watch the Fox guys. Now, let's talk some NBA. They have been, and the reason why we're talking NBA because I think there's some connection to MLB. NBA agreed to a $76 billion media rights deal.
Better say that again.
$76 billion deal, which will, A, continue to see that we get sports on some in some fashion, whether it's streamed or on television. And it also means that you're going to continue to see these salaries climb, if that is, if you can believe that. But it's a big deal, and I'm bringing it up because I think it's not a secret. Major League Baseball situation is a bit of a mess. I think my partner said this the other day. They have taken what was a national game and changed it to the most regional sport out of all of them. And it's become a problem now that streaming is becoming the kind of takeover, right? And the reason why I bring up the NBA, because I wanted to see exactly how that was going to work, right? They're still going to have their normal TNT partners, ESPN, ABC. But also, Amazon Prime is going to be involved. And so they're getting into the streaming world, too. I don't think it's coming as fast as we were anticipating, because the mere fact that ABC and they all have streaming services, but they're all going to use this on television as well. So the reason why I bring that, I don't think streaming is going to take over or is seemingly taking over sports as fast as we may have anticipated it taking over.
A couple of things. First of all, yes, I the streaming hopefully is on a bit of a slower track, and I just, you know, keep my fingers crossed there. Second of all, does anybody know what the previous contract was worth for the NBA TV rights deal? How about $24 billion? Yeah. So it just went up $51 billion, I believe.
When was that done? That deal?
This year. It's 9 years ago.
9 years ago. Okay.
So they got $24 billion. Now they're getting $76 billion. That is 300 times what they got before, or 30 times, or whatever. Some mathematician will correct me. But it's so much more money, and I just wonder, where are these TV networks? We talk about owners printing money. We talk about leagues printing money.
Yeah.
But what about these networks? I mean, ESPN... I don't mind taking a little shot at them right here because I've never been employed by them, and I doubt I ever will be. But I've heard nothing, and maybe you've heard the same, Tony, or different. I've heard endlessly that ESPN pays its talent and its people, you know, who work behind the scenes, peanuts. And they're one of those companies that thinks, hey, you're getting to work at ESPN. We don't have to pay you. You know, just
kinda
the
sounds the familiar, maybe?
Sounds familiar to a lot of people in a lot of places, I'm sure.
I don't
Scrappy,
know. I'm not making any connections.
Good. But because that's not what I'm asking you to do here. What I'm saying is ESPN is renowned for paying really low salaries to people, but apparently they have more money than, you know, even the NBA has, because they're the ones that are really giving the NBA all its money.
Yeah, I mean,
it's incredible how much they're paying.
To your point, in 98-99, it was the deal between NBC and TNT was $2.6 billion.
Right.
And so we're almost to the $100 billion mark here. And you're right, it's only a few networks that can even compete with it, right? NBC, ABC, TNT, Fox, you know, outside, it's those companies. And that is going to be the lifeline for TV for live sports. I think that's going to be their main. That's going to be the jewel they try to hold on to as long as they possibly can. And it seems like, at least through this next deal, they'll be able to do that.
I'll be rooting for them, but my question, where are they getting all the money? Because we know that the teams now have all the money, the players all get the paychecks, and then, by the way, the teams say we have to raise ticket prices because the players are making so much money, which is a fugazi. They don't. The reason the players are making so much money is because the networks are giving them so much money. They don't need to raise ticket prices, but they do it anyway, and that's frustrating to people.
It is a gamble. Now, the difference is the NBA is playing in a much bigger pool in terms of the television networks they're working with. They're not necessarily worried about Fox filing for bankruptcy or NBC filing for bankruptcy like Bally Sports did, or that the Diamond Group or whoever owns it, right, as it did in baseball. So there is risk. They just are partners with a much sturdier, it seems like, company in terms of being able to get their money. I just watch these deals happen, and I'm just so interested in Major League Baseball is going to do. I mean, how do you – what is the fix for the problem that you have right now?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel really fortunate that we still get to watch Padre games, every single one of them, on free television every night.
Unless, it's not free television, though.
You know what I mean. All right, I'm paying my cable bill, and it's costing me. Yeah. Sorry. But I expect that I'm going to have to pay something to watch just about anything.
Yeah.
So,
but why not give
I don't really include that necessarily.
Why not give it directly to the Padres instead of giving it to Spectrum or whatever?
What do you mean give it directly to who are you talking
because
about?
Because you could sign up to watch Padres games through MLB.com/Padres, right? Padres TV. And so instead of giving your money to the cable company, Chris, that you don't really like anyway, you can give your money to the Padres.
I like my cable company. I'm a fan.
Said no one ever.
I'm the first. I'm going to get behind my cable company because they're my lifeline to be able to not have to watch everything. I don't want to unplug my cable like a lot of people do.
He's not unplugging.
I have a question for Tony about this whole broadcasting thing. So on Sunday, the Padres were on Roku TV, and Don and Tom Candiotti were calling the game.
Last week.
Roku. And so how does that work? Is Don supposed to stay neutral? Or maybe you don't know, but is Don
That's
supposed
so
to stay
funny
neutral?
You brought
or?
That up because Don was having this conversation with me the other day.
Okay, good.
Yes, he's supposed to play neutral, but there were clearly a lot of Padre fans that felt some type of way listening to
that
him.
That he was being neutral.
Calling it neutral. But
oh, boy.
He's working at that point for
Roku.
Roku.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he can't be having his to the crowd zone thing. You can't do that.
Into a sea of shenanigans.
Yeah,
didn't help that was the 9-1 game in favor of Arizona, by the way.
Yeah,
and he
true.
Had to call nothing but Arizona home runs.
They were asking me, why does he do that? Why does he do that? And I was like, well, because probably, A, they paid him, and B, they don't want to have to fly their own crew around, so they just take two of the local guys.
It's not just Don. So if it was the Phillies and, I don't know, the Dodgers, it would have probably been Joe Davis and whoever is the Phillies color analyst.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
And that's how those things end up working.
Yeah, so those guys get a little extra walking around money. Good for them.
I figured out the City Connect jersey record.
It is,
according to my research, 4-4, so 500.
No.
There was a couple years ago. It felt like they couldn't lose in those bad.
That's
boys.
True.
In 22,
yeah, but not this year. They're 4-4 this year.
Four
so not
four.
As bad as you thought.
It's not so bad.
No.
I have one last thing on the TV thing that we didn't quite get to on it. I don't think TNT is indeed out of the mix. So
I thought they had a chance to match.
You're right. That's right. They have 5 days to match one of the deals. I don't know that that's expected, but that means that with this new deal, it is 100% official, unless TNT matches at the last minute, that we're done with, the best TV pre- and post-game lineup
in the history of
sports.
One of those other networks can pick them up. They're free agents now.
Didn't Charles say that he wasn't going to do that? He was going to kind of retire
He
somewhat?
Wouldn't be the first person
he
to go back
He said
he's going to
retire after
word.
This season.
Yeah, he's doing at least one more year somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a tough one, man.
That is.
It's kind of the hallmark. All right. Scraby's giving me the break sign, so
you
don't
have to tell people that.
let's head to break, and we'll have David Peralta when we return. It's Friar Friday. More Gwen and Chris on the way.
All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 2:40 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park. Scraby alongside here at the Odyssey Palace Studios. David Peralta interview coming up moments from right now. Before we get to that, little baseball news today that I wanted to pass along. And I wanted to pass along, Tony, because I really enjoy making Scraby angry. And in this case, it's very easy to do. All I have to do is tell everybody the news that Paul Skeens has been chosen to start the All-Star game for the National League. And watch him get fired up about it.
You have this wrong, my friend.
I do not have it wrong. You tweeted about this and were critical of it, and Pirate fans everywhere are
Pirate
on your case.
Pirate fans are not happy with me. But what I said was that he is exciting. He's only started 11 games. Like, let's pump the brakes on crowning this guy the best pitcher of all time, which is what we're doing.
I'm with
right
you
now.
On that. Like, I co-sign that sentiment. But in terms of him starting the All-Star game,
I never said anything about him starting the All-Star game.
Okay.
I think you did. As soon as that became a possibility, started grumbling about this.
Did you know he needs like 96 innings to qualify for any of the season awards? Like, he needs 96 more innings, right? It's 160-something innings that you have to have.
162. It's one inning per team game.
Yeah, he needs 96 more innings. Is
yeah,
he going
to
get that?
Who cares about that anymore? The guy had a no-hitter going yesterday.
He's done it twice,
too. And came out of the game. It was the second time.
I am a fan of watching him pitch.
I don't mind Derek Shelton, the manager of the Pirates, if he was just honest. And he said, you know what? We don't want to put Tax's arm this early in his career. But Derek Shelton said that when he watched him pitch the seventh inning yesterday, he thought he looked tired. That's why he took him out. The only problem with that argument was he got through the seventh inning in only six pitches. And
yeah, well, that doesn't mean he doesn't look tired, though.
I know, but do you really believe Derek Shelton took him out because he thought he was tired, Tony? I think he took him out.
What reason does he have to lie?
Because he doesn't want to make it look like the analytics are managing for him.
I don't know. That's a bit of a stretch. Analytics wouldn't be telling him to get him out.
Well,
I don't think.
All right. Baseball in this day and age says we can't have a young pitcher throwing 120 pitches.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe he was worried about that. You know, I think that's just what we all turn to when this happens. Whether that's the case or not, I don't think we know. In this case, I think he finished with 100 pitches? Just over 100 pitches?
I think it was
something
90,
like that.
Wasn't it?
I think it was 99.
Oh, 99. Okay. So, I mean, I said to you when we looked at it, the seventh inning, before we knew he wasn't going out for the eighth, I was like, I don't think he's going to make it.
Right.
99 pitches.
But you base that on the sense that baseball doesn't let young guys
touché
their arm.
And that's what I said.
You didn't know he was tired.
I didn't
even watch the game.
Yeah, I didn't watch the game, but I think highly enough of Shelton that I wouldn't think he would. He doesn't seem like the guy that would lie about that.
I think he's lying. I've never felt highly about Shelton.
Now you just can't reason with a guy that's like, he's lying.
Yeah. Well, look, I am an oxymoron.
You
after
are.
All.
You are. Thank
so
you.
So what do you expect?
Thank you.
All right. Let's get to our interview with David Peralta, because this is really intriguing and unique. And, David Peralta's story is pretty good.
I
didn't know it, and I think you'll like it. It's right now. And our Friar Friday interview as the Padres head into the All-Star break. Outfielder David Peralta joins us here on Gwen and Chris. Excited to have you on. And I guess I'll start with some info that I heard. David, by wishing you a very happy anniversary today.
Awesome.
This is, I don't know that a lot of us in the world, when we think of anniversaries, we think of a lot of different things than this, but this is your 10-year day for service time to Major League Baseball, and that is a big deal. And I think also congratulations are in order to any of you great athletes who make it that long in the big leagues.
Thank you. Thank you very much, guys. Yeah, I know this is a special day for me, for my family, too. It is. It's been a long journey for me. It hasn't been easy, but, you know, I made it. I did it. I'm here with the Padres, and I always thank the Padres for giving me the opportunity to believe in me and give me the chance to keep playing the game that I love.
David, talk a little bit about that. I mean, that journey, as you mentioned, it wasn't your typical journey. I mean, you started this game in the professional realm as a pitcher, had to go play some indie ball, wade your way back as a hitter. I mean, it's quite – have you sat back and thought about it? Because it's kind of remarkable the path that you've had, and yet you've been able to reach this 10-year mark.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long story. I'm going to try to make it short and quick and fun. But, you know, I started my career in 2004 as a pitcher with the Cardinals. And this stuff didn't work. Didn't work for me, obviously. Like, I had 2 shoulder surgeries. I was trying to work my way up to get healthy. That didn't work. And obviously, like, when I went back, I got released in 2009. I went back to Venezuela. I'm trying to, like, figure out what to do. But thankfully, I have my parents that were supporting me 100%. And they was like, hey, let's try hitting. You know, I was still young. I was 21 years old. And I'm like, hey, you're still young. You can do it. So I started doing the transformation, you know, like, changing my body, like trying to work different to make an impact as an outfielder, because I was telling myself, if I want to come back as a position player, I have to, you know, do something to get attention from the scouts. So that's what I did. I moved back to United States, and I started playing an independent ball, which wasn't easy for me to get a job in independent ball. And then I finally got a job in independent ball in Harlingen, Texas. That was my first team. And the funny thing of that, like, I didn't have money to fly over there, to be honest, and I had a drive over there. I didn't have money for the gas too, so I had to work at McDonald's to collect money.
Oh, wow.
To drive to pay for the gas. So I worked for a month over there, and that was like, actually, that was my real job ever, and it was tough, but you know, I went through that. You know, I had to work at McDonald's, and then when my time was done, I had to go work out, play practice, and all this kind of stuff. But I played 2.5 years in independent ball, and finally the D-backs gave me the opportunity to come back to athletic team. So they sent me to the high A in 2013. So a year and a half later, I got called to the big league from double A, and that's everything started, my whole story.
Wow. That is an unbelievable story. I certainly hadn't heard it before, and I think we just all kind of assume that you guys just materialize in the major leagues, you know, and it just, that's what happens. But to go from pitching to Venezuela to McDonald's to the independent league, I mean, this was a 5 or 6 year journey, so no wonder that 10 years means so much to you. David Peralta is our guest. He is the pride of Venezuela, as he mentioned during that last answer. I'm curious, David. I pitched a little in college. The reason I did is because I couldn't hit. I stunk. And so I thought, if I'm going to do anything, I'm going to do it as a pitcher. And I was able to play up into some college ball. Were you always a decent hitter, or did you pitch because you couldn't hit either and then had to learn how to hit?
No, I mean, I used to do both, hitting, you know, I used to play center field, hitting and pitching. But, you know, this time a couple of scouts told me, like, hey, you have a good arm, you're a lefty, and it's going to be more easy. That's what he said, more easy to make it to the big league, because there's not a lot of good left-handed pitchers in the big league. So it's going to be much, you know, more easy for you than, you know, outfielder. And I was like, okay, so let's start pitching. But I used to love, like, you know, I love playing outfielding and everything when I was little. And I used to hit not for power, but I used to hit a lot of line drive and everything. And that's what I was like, okay, I'm going to start pitching. So you tell, I want to play baseball. I want to be a professional baseball player. And that's what they told me, and I did it. So I'm assuming that's why my shoulder couldn't handle that. Mm-hmm. That's why I had 2 surgeries on my shoulder. So, but, you know, I think things happen for a reason. And it meant to be that way, because all that I went through to get to this point, like, helped me to become a better man, to become a better person, better husband, better father, better teammate, and grow up as a person. And if you ask me, like, hey, if you have to go back on time, will you change anything? I will tell you no. I would do the same thing, and I would go through the same, all that I went through to make it to this point again, because it was a journey for me. It was hard, but I put a lot of hard work, dedication, discipline to get to this point. So
that's an amazing story, David. This is a reminder to people out there that, you know, it if you put what you really want to do, no matter what the obstacles are put in front of you, it can be done. Now, David, you're here with the Padres, and you're playing on an offense that is one of the better offenses in the National League, and you're playing a little bit different role than you had in Arizona. How have you transitioned from being pretty much an everyday guy to kind of getting the starts against the right-handed pitching and kind of spot starting here and there?
You know, you have to understand the game, and you have to, you know, adjust to the game, you know, and for me, like, I understand my role, and I always prepare myself the same way. It doesn't matter if I'm playing, I'm not playing that game at that day, if I'm going to start a lineup or not, but I'm always ready because I know it's always going to be an opportunity for me to pinch you or do something to help the team. So I always tell the manager, like, hey, don't worry about me, I'll be ready, you know, and I learned that from, you know, years by years, like, how to prepare myself to pinchy and all this kind of stuff. So I was trying to, like, to talk to the young guys here, like, hey, you got to watch the game. You got to know the situation where it can be your opportunity to pinchy for these guys. So you need to be ready. You have to go to the cage, stretch, be loose, get your swing, and be ready when the manager tells you to go to hit. So that's what I've been doing. And when I get the opportunity to start in the lineup, I just, you know, I just have to go out there and have fun and do my job.
David Peralta has been doing a really nice job for the Padres, and I've been saying that the entire time. And, you know, I was really excited when you came here. I mean, watching you in Arizona, you know, you win a Silver Slugger one year, you win a Gold Glove the next year. You know, that tells me right there, pretty good all-around player. And, you know, you've proven that over time. And that helped take you to the World Baseball Classic to represent Venezuela. What did that mean to you?
Well, that means everything for me. I think, like, play in a World Classic, represent your country, wearing the jersey, knowing the whole country, the whole Venezuela is watching you, and what we did was really special. I think, like, for me, I would say I never made it to the All-Star team in the big league, but for me, the World Classic was my All-Star. It was my All-Star game, and because I was around with superstar players, playing against superstar players to USA. We play against the Dominican, the Puerto Rico. It was unbelievable. It was so electric, like the energy. I love it. It was special for me.
David Peralta joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And David, we're getting close to the break. Just kind of explain to people, you know, you guys have gone through the attrition. The season started in March, and you get to this point. I imagine there's some light at the end of the tunnel in terms of being able to get some rest. How do you guys keep your mind locked in to finish through these last three games before you guys get a little break?
Well, you know, we're going to keep the same mentality every day. I know we have three games left. We're going to give everything we got, these three games. I know, like, the last few games we haven't do the way get the result that we wanted, but it's baseball. You know, we have to understand that, like, it's baseball, and a lot of things is going to go your way, and a lot of things is going to go the other way. But we got to finish strong, and it's always good to get a little break, especially mentally, because these games is so hard. And as people, like, a lot of people have to understand, like, it's not an easy game. It's not physical. It's physical, but it's a lot of mental. So sometimes you're going to need, like, we need a mental break, like a few days, like the days that we're going to have in the break, to reset your mind, spend a little time with the family, refresh, and then come back and finish strong the second half, and that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, I tell you, I mean, I don't know how frustrated you were the other day at the end of that ball game, but when you hit that line drive in the ninth inning, I thought game was tied. And that had
I was born, and I was like, go over, but you know, it's hard.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
Like, it was a good situation. You want to do the right thing. You want to be the hero. But like I said, this game is tough, and sometimes it doesn't go the way you want, and you have to move on and come back the next day and bring your A game again and do it again.
I can't. I know we got 2 seconds left. Did you make French fries? Did you cook burgers? Did you work at the front of the store at McDonald's? What did you do?
Look, the first day, they have some promotion with the Big Mac. And it was a huge line. I have no idea how to control the scream and everything. And they put me right away to take order. I was panicked. I was sweating. I didn't know what to do. And I was like, you got to be kidding me, my first day. And then they just switched me to drive-thru. And I was doing a little better over there. But with McDonald's, you have to keep everything like moving really quick. And then you say, you know what, David, go start doing fries and got everything, keep everything on track. And I was going to stop. So like a week later, I was getting better and I was like taking orders and I was going to stop. And but the first day was the worst. I was like, oh, boy, I'm going to get fired.
All right. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 2:40 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park. Scraby alongside here. At the Odyssey Palace Studios. David Peralta interview coming up moments from right now. Before we get to that, little baseball news today that I wanted to pass along. And I wanted to pass along, Tony, because I really enjoy making Scraby angry. And in this case, it's very easy to do. All I have to do is tell everybody the news that Paul Skeens has been chosen to start the All-Star game for the National League and watch him get fired up about it.
You have this wrong, my friend.
I do not have it wrong. You tweeted about this and were critical of it, and Pirate fans everywhere are
Pirate
on your
case.
Pirate
fans are not happy with me. But what I said was that he is exciting. He's only started 11 games. Like, let's pump the brakes on crowning this guy the best pitcher of all time, which is what we're doing.
I'm with
right
you
now.
On that. Like, I co-sign that sentiment. But in terms of him starting the All-Star game,
I never said anything about him starting the All-Star game.
Okay.
I think you did. As soon as that became a possibility, started grumbling about this.
Did you know he needs like 96 innings to qualify for any of the season awards? Like, he needs 96 more innings, right? It's 160-something innings that you have to have.
162. It's one inning per team game.
Yeah, he needs 96 more innings. Is
he gonna get that? Who cares about that anymore? The guy had a no-hitter going yesterday.
He's done it twice,
too. And came out of the game. It was the second time.
I am a fan of watching him pitch.
I don't mind Derek Shelton, the manager of the Pirates, if he was just honest. And he said, you know what? We don't want to put Tax's arm this early in his career. But Derek Shelton said that when he watched him pitch the seventh inning yesterday, he thought he looked tired. That's why he took him out. The only problem with that argument was he got through the seventh inning in only six pitches. And
that doesn't mean he doesn't look tired, though.
I know, but do you really believe Derek Shelton took him out because he thought he was tired, Tony? I think he took him out.
What reason does he have to lie?
Because he doesn't want to make it look like the analytics are managing for him.
I don't know. That's a bit of a stretch. Analytics wouldn't be telling him to get him out.
Well,
I don't think.
All right, baseball in this day and age says we can't have a young pitcher throwing 120 pitches.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe he was worried about that. You know, I think that's just what we all turn to when this happens. Whether that's the case or not, I don't think we know. In this case, I think he finished with 100 pitches? Just over 100 pitches?
I think it was
something
90,
like that.
Wasn't it?
I think it was 99.
Oh, 99. So, I mean, I said to you when we looked at it, the seventh inning, before we knew he wasn't going out for the eighth, I was like, I don't think he's going to make it.
Right.
99 pitches.
But you base that on the sense that baseball doesn't let young guys
touché
their arm.
And that's what I said.
You didn't know he was tired.
I didn't
even watch the game.
Yeah, I didn't watch the game. But so. I think highly enough of Shelton that I wouldn't think he would.
Yeah,
he doesn't seem like the guy that would lie about that.
I think he's lying. I've never felt highly about
now
Shelton.
You just can't reason with a guy that's like, he's lying.
Yeah. Well, look, I am an oxymoron,
after all. You are. Thank you.
So what do you expect?
Thank you.
All right. Let's get to our interview with David Peralta, because this is really intriguing and unique. And, David Peralta's story is pretty good.
I
didn't know it, and I think you'll like it. It's right now. And our Friar Friday interview as the Padres head into the All-Star break. Outfielder David Peralta joins us here on Gwynn and Chris. Excited to have you on. And I guess I'll start with some info that I heard, David, by wishing you a very happy anniversary today.
Awesome.
This is, yeah, I don't know that a lot of us in the world, when we think of anniversaries, we think of a lot of different things than this, but this is your 10-year day for service time to Major League Baseball, and that is a big deal. And I think also congratulations are in order to any of you great athletes who make it that long in the big leagues.
Thank you. Thank you very much, guys. Yeah, I know this is a special day for me, for my family, too. It's been a long journey for me. It hasn't been easy, but, you know, I made it. I did it. I'm here with the Padres, and I always thank the Padres for giving me the opportunity to believe in me and give me the chance to keep playing and the game that I love.
David, talk a little bit about that. I mean, that journey, as you mentioned, it wasn't your typical journey. I mean, you started this game in the professional realm as a pitcher, had to go play some indie ball, wade your way back as a hitter. I mean, it's quite – have you sat back and thought about it? Because it's kind of remarkable the path that you've had, and yet you've been able to reach this 10-year mark.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long story. I'm going to try to make it short and quick and fun. But, you know, I started my career in 2004 as a pitcher with the Cardinals. And this stuff didn't work. It didn't work for me, obviously. Like, I had two shoulder surgeries. I was trying to work my way up to get healthy. That didn't work. And, obviously, like, when I went back, I got released in 2009. I went back to Venezuela. I'm trying to, like, figure out what to do. But, thankfully, I have my parents that were supporting me 100%. And they were like, hey, let's try hitting. You know, I was still young. I was 21 years old. And I'm like, hey, you're still young. You can do it. So I started doing the transformation, you know, like, changing my body, like trying to work different to make an impact as an outfielder, because I was telling myself, if I want to come back as a position player, I have to, you know, do something to get attention from the scouts. So that's what I did. I moved back to United States, and I started playing an independent ball, which wasn't easy for me to get a job in independent ball. And then I finally got a job in independent ball in Harlingen, Texas. That was my first team. And the funny thing of that, like, I didn't have money to fly over there, to be honest, and I had a drive over there. I didn't have money for the gas too, so I had to work at McDonald's to collect money.
Oh, wow.
To drive to pay for the gas. So I worked for a month over there, and that was like, actually, that was my real job ever, and it was tough, but you know, I went through that. You know, I had to work at McDonald's, and then when my time was done, I had to go work out, play practice, and all this kind of stuff. But I played 2.5 years in independent ball, and finally the D-backs gave me the opportunity to come back to athletic team. So they sent me to the high A in 2013. So a year and a half later, I got called up to the big league from double A, and that's everything started, my whole story.
Wow. That is an unbelievable story. I certainly hadn't heard it before, and I think we just all kind of assume that you guys just materialize in the major leagues, you know, and it just, that's what happens. But to go from pitching to Venezuela to McDonald's to the independent league, I mean, this was a 5 or 6 year journey, so no wonder that 10 years means so much to you. David Peralta is our guest. He is the pride of Venezuela, as he mentioned during that last answer. I'm curious, David. I pitched a little in college. The reason I did is because I couldn't hit. I stunk. And so I thought, if I'm going to do anything, I'm going to do it as a pitcher. And I was able to play up into some college ball. Were you always a decent hitter, or did you pitch because you couldn't hit either and then had to learn how to hit?
No, I mean, I used to do both, hitting, you know, I used to play center field, hitting and pitching. But, you know, this time a couple scouts told me, like, hey, you have a good arm, you're a lefty, and it's going to be more easy. That's what he said, more easy to make it to the big league, because there's not a lot of good left-handed pitchers in the big league. So it's going to be much, you know, more easy for you than, you know, outfielder. And I was like, okay, so let's start pitching. But I used to love, like, you know, I love playing outfielding and everything when I was little. And I used to hit not for power, but I used to hit a lot of line drive and everything. And that's what I was like, okay, I'm going to start pitching. So I want to play baseball. I want to be a professional baseball player. And that's why they told me, and I did it. So I'm assuming that's why my shoulder couldn't handle that. That's why I had 2 surgeries on my shoulder. So, but, you know, I think things happen for a reason, and it meant to be that way, because all that I went through to get to this point, like, helped me to become a better man, to become a better person, better husband, better father, better teammate, and grow up as a person. And if you ask me, like, hey, if you have to go back on time, will you change anything? I will tell you no. I will do the same thing, and I will go through the same, all that I went through to make it to this point again, because it was a journey for me. It was hard, but I put a lot of hard work, dedication, discipline to get to this point. So
that's an amazing story, David. This is a reminder to people out there that, you know, it if you put what you really want to do, no matter what the obstacles are put in front of you, it can be done. Now, David, you're here with the Padres, and you're playing on an offense that is one of the better offenses in the National League, and you're playing a little bit different role than you had in Arizona. How have you transitioned from being pretty much an everyday guy to kind of getting the starts against the right-handed pitching and kind of spot starting here and there?
You know, you have to understand the game, and you have to, you know, adjust to the game, you know. And for me, like, I understand my role, and I always prepare myself the same way. It doesn't matter if I'm playing, I'm not playing that game at that day, if I'm in the starting lineup or not. But I'm always ready, because I know it's always going to be an opportunity for me to pinch you or do something to help the team. So I always tell the manager, like, hey, don't worry about me, I'll be ready. You know, and I learned that from, you know, years by years, like, how to prepare myself to pinchy and all this kind of stuff. So I was trying to, like, to talk to the young guys here, like, hey, you got to watch the game. You got to know the situation where it can be your opportunity to pinchy for these guys. So you need to be ready. You have to go to the cage, stretch, be loose, get your swing, and be ready when the manager tells you to go to hit. So that's what I've been doing. And when I gave the opportunity to start in the lineup, I just, you know, I would just have to go out there and have fun and do my job.
David Peralta has been doing a really nice job for the Padres, and I've been saying that the entire time. And, you know, I was really excited when you came here. I mean, watching you in Arizona, you know, you win a Silver Slugger 1 year, you win a Gold Glove the next year. You know, that tells me right there, pretty good all-around player. And, you know, you've proven that over time. And that helped take you to the World Baseball Classic to represent Venezuela. What did that mean to you?
Well, that means everything for me. I think, like, play in a World Classic, represent your country, wearing the jersey, knowing the whole country, the whole Venezuela is watching you, and what we did was really special. I think, like, for me, I would say I never made it to the All-Star team in the big league, but for me, the World Classic was my All-Star. It was my All-Star game, and because I was around with superstar players, playing against superstar players to USA. We play against the Dominican, the Puerto Rico. It was unbelievable. It was so electric, like the energy. I love it. It was special for me.
David Peralta joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And, David, we're getting close to the break. Just kind of explain to people, you know, you guys have gone through the attrition. The season started in March, and you get to this point. I imagine there's some light at the end of the tunnel in terms of being able to get some rest. How do you guys keep your mind locked in to finish through these last three games before you guys get a little break?
Well, you know, we're going to keep the same mentality every day. I know we have 3 games left. We're going to give everything we got these 3 games. I know, like, the last few games we haven't do the way get the result that we wanted, but it's baseball. You know, we have to understand that, like, it's baseball, and a lot of things is going to go your way, and a lot of things is going to go the other way. But we got to finish strong, and it's always good to get a little break, especially mentally, because these games is so hard. And as people, like, a lot of people have to understand, like, it's not an easy game. It's not physical. It's physical, but it's a lot of mental. So sometimes you're going to need, like, we need a mental break, like a few days, like the days that we're going to have in the break, to reset your mind, spend a little time with the family, refresh, and then come back and finish strong the second half, and that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, I tell you, I mean, I don't know how frustrated you were the other day at the end of that ball game, but when you hit that line drive in the ninth inning, I thought game was tied. And that had
I was blind. I was like, go over. But, you know, it's hard.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
It was a good situation. You want to do the right thing. You want to be the hero. But like I said, this game is tough, and sometimes it doesn't go the way you want. And you have to move on and come back the next day and bring your A game again and do it again.
Do it again. I can't. I know we got 2 seconds left. Did you make French fries? Did you cook burgers? Did you work at the front of the store at McDonald's?
Look, the first day, they have some promotion with the Big Mac. And it was a huge line. I have no idea how to control the scream and everything. And they put me right away to take order. I was panicked. I was sweating. I didn't know what to do. And I was like, you got to be kidding me, my first day. And then they just switched me to drive-through. And I was doing a little better over there. But with McDonald's, you have to keep everything, like, moving really quick. And then you say, you know what, David, go start doing fries and got everything, keep everything on track, and I was going to stop. So, like, a week later, I was getting better, and I was, like, taking orders, and I was going to stop. And but the first day was the worst. I was like, oh, boy, I'm going to get fired my first day.
That's awesome, yeah. David.
Well, I'm kind of glad you didn't make your 10-year anniversary as a McDonald's employee. I'm glad you you made it 10 years in the big leagues. Hey, it was a really fun interview, David. We really enjoyed it. Great stories, and I think all the fans got a little better chance to know you. We look forward to you watching you this weekend and the rest of the season. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
That is the idea of the Fryer Friday interview right there. Give you all a chance to get to know something about these guys. David Peralta, slinging French fries at McDonald's.
I like how they said, all right, David, we're going to move you to fries.
Took him off the front of the store.
Anyway. That would be confusing and scary at the same time.
I never worked at a fast food place. Did you?
No.
Yeah.
No.
So,
but I can imagine it being very scary.
I'm sure everybody's got their stories, but very few of us have worked at a fast food place and then gone to the big leagues for 10 years.
Yeah, that's true, too.
David Peralta. All right, more Gwen and Chris coming up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.